Let us all pray. Jesus, in thy cross are centered all the marvels of thy grace. Thou, my Savior, once hast entered through thy blood the holy place. Thy sacrifice holy there wrought my redemption. From Satan's dominion I now have exemption. The way is now free to the Father's high throne, where I may approach him in thy name alone. Amen. Christian friends, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Augustine once said, Duo faciunt idem, sed non est idem, which translated says, two people do the same thing, and yet it is not the same thing at all. A parable of our text illustrates this profound truth. Two men went into the temple to pray. The one, a Pharisee, the other, a publican. They both prayed. They both did the same thing. But the reasons for their prayer, the content of their prayer, and most especially God's reaction to their prayer, were altogether different. The Pharisee marches into the temple of God, struts to the center of that great sanctuary where he may be heard and seen by all, and there he takes his stand. He is going to pray. He was a member of the strictest religious sect of the day. He believed in miracles, in devils, in angels, in the resurrection of the body, the historical Adam and Eve, the verbal inspiration and inerrancy of the scriptures. He was orthodox. And his life, it was a model of virtue. He had never committed adultery. He had never defrauded or deceived anyone, ever. He had never wronged any person. He presents himself before God as one who has gone as far as possible on that road of self-sanctification and justification. In fact, he does more than what God himself required of him. According to the law of Moses, a person should give tithes of his fields and his herds and his trees. This man gives tithes of everything he has. According to the law of Moses, an Israelite was expected to fast once a year on the great Feast of Atonement. This man fasts twice every week. Surely the world and God himself must be deeply impressed by this man's piety and sanctity. And at that moment, the judgment of God descends upon that man. All his works are an abomination, a blasphemy. God hates them. Why? What has he done wrong? Where has he failed? What does he lack? One thing. He has no Savior. He doesn't need a Savior, he thinks. Our text says that he prays within himself or to himself. It sounds as though he's praying to God, but really he's talking to himself. He's his own God. He merely stands there and tells God how good he is. He petitions God for nothing. He needs nothing. Certainly not a savior. His heart is as hard as stone. He mentions that poor publican back in an obscure corner of the temple. It never occurs to him how he might help that poor wretched man, convert him. No. If God judges that man and sends him to eternal flames, that's God's just judgment. And so that Pharisee, with all his orthodoxy and piety, is a hypocrite who has succeeded in deceiving even himself. What a contrast to the Pharisee is the publican in our text. His sense of guilt and shame prevent him from strutting up to the central place in that great temple like the Pharisee. He stands afar off, our text says, in some remote corner. His total guilt prevents him from raising his eyes up to God against whom he has sinned. He bows his head. He smites his breast, which in those days was a sign of great contrition and sorrow. And finally he gathers enough courage to utter his short, simple prayer. God be merciful to me, the sinner. The article is there, the sinner. It's as though he is the only sinner in the world. No one else really counts at that moment. He alone stands before God, guilty. The sinner. Unlike the Pharisee who enumerated all his virtues, this man lists none of his sins. Simply calls himself the sinner. He confesses not what he has done or left undone. He repents not of that, but he repents of what he is, not what he does. This is repentance for original sin. His awful, sinful condition, which has produced such a lost, wretched failure of a life. And notice his petition. He's not just praying for some sort of generic mercy. That God will be good to him, that God will protect him, help him, make him a success, and all the rest of it. This is not the Kyrie eleison. His words are the words of a poor, lost sinner who needs one thing only, to stand before God righteous in his sight. And so he says, Hotheos, telestheti moi. Be propitiated to me. Be no longer angry with me. He stands before God and prays, and he has a mediator, a savior, a propitiator, who stands between God and him, the poor lost sinner. And as Luther used to put it, turns an angry God into a loving, merciful, forgiving father. And how does God answer his prayer? He answers it. That man went down to his house justified, forgiven, saved forever and ever. Two people do the same thing, but it's not the same thing at all. There's a world of difference between the prayer of the publican and the Pharisee. A world of difference between their faith and a world of difference between God's response to the two prayers. You and I, we're just like the Pharisee, aren't we? Prone to vaunt ourselves above others, refusing to repent or apologize to anybody, insisting that we're right. We can't help that. But we can certainly emulate the publican, can't we? We can emulate his faith and his prayer. And the result, justification before God. The publican was justified not because of his prayer, not because of his humility or the quality of his contrition, or even because of his faith. He was justified for Christ's sake, as you and I have been justified. My prayer today for all of us is that, hearing once again this parable of Jesus, we will have the faith to confess and pray that beautiful stanza with which I introduced this little message. Jesus, in thy cross are centered all the marvels of thy grace. Thou, my Savior, once hast entered through thy blood the holy place. Thy sacrifice holy there wrought my redemption. From Satan's dominion I now have exemption. The way is now free to the Father's high throne, where I may approach him in thy name alone. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.